Support comes from the St. Louis Chamber Chorus. Season 68 concludes at John Burroughs at 3 p.m. on May 26th with the United Nations commissioned Voices of Today by composer Benjamin Britten, featuring youth and adult singers. Tickets at chamberchorus.org.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Mars. Today, a discussion about getting the lives of our kids off to a good start. The homeschool partnership program Parents as Teachers is observing its 35th anniversary this year. It all began right here in Missouri, and since its founding, has helped tens of thousands of families in all 50 states and abroad. It's headquartered in St. Louis. Joining me in studio is Constance Scully, President and CEO of Parents as Teachers. Constance, great to have you with us.
Good to be here. Good afternoon, and thank you.
I think a lot of people will be surprised. Parents as Teachers is well known, but surprised that it started right here.
Right here.
How and why?
Well, it started through the vision of our founder, Mildred Winter, who was an early childhood teacher in Ferguson-Florissant School District that just got a little frustrated with children. She noticed children coming to kindergarten underprepared and just not ready to learn, and she thought that the answer was in the home. So her first thought was that parents were the key to their children's success, and two, that learning begins at birth.
I think some people are confused by the name Parents as Teachers. You've just explained the role that parents play, but tell me about that confusion and why should people not be confused?
Parents are their children's first and best teachers. So because 80% of rapid brain development occurs before the age of three, there are lots of things that a parent can do to engage and advance their child's development. And what Parents as Teachers does is we provide trained professionals to work with parents in the home to engage in their optimal health, learning, growth, and development.
Give me more specifics, I should say, on that. When these people come in, what exactly do they do?
So we have a four-component model that includes personal or home visits, developmental and health screenings, and group socializations, and then the fourth component of the model is resource referrals. Mm. So what happens in a home visit, the components of a visit, you know, there's obviously an opening and introductions, but parent educators observe parent-child interaction. There's a component of development-centered parenting that's addressed, as well as family well-being. So those are the three components of an actual visit. So parent educators bring in tools, share information with parents about developmental milestones, show them how to use basic resources in the home to support their child's development. They bring books to encourage literacy, talking, reading, and singing to children. For me personally, when I was a PAT parent, I remember my parent educator working with me to develop my son's fine motor skills by picking up frozen peas on the floor, which was good for me because I don't eat peas.
How often do the parent educators come to visit?
For the deepened approach, the model itself, on average, there are two visits usually a month, personal visits to families, at least one group connection a month, and then there are scheduled developmental screenings. They also share the milestones with parents. So parents know what to expect from their child and how they can help encourage and develop them to stay on task.
And who are these parent educators? What's their background?
Our parent educators come from a varying background. Some have early childhood backgrounds. Some may have social work backgrounds. Some even nursing. The National Center for Parents as Teachers, as well as some of our training teams in the state. In the states, we provide the training to certify our parent educators in our foundational delivery, which is from prenatal through 3 years old. And then our foundational two is 3 to 5. So we provide the professional development to certify parent educators to either deliver the parents as teachers evidence-based model or to subscribe to our curriculum, which is often used by other evidence-based models like Early Head Start programs or Healthy Families America.
I imagine you're always on the lookout for parent educators. Given the number of families that you serve, I'm sure there's always a shortage.
Well, we work through child and family serving organizations who we refer to as parents as teachers affiliates. So in any given community, often in Missouri, because we started here, the then governor and later Senator Kit Bond passed legislation to provide parenting education in every school district in Missouri. So what's most familiar here is in the school districts, there's a PAT program of some sort. But when you look across the landscape of the nation, any child and family serving organization that has a mission to support early development can be a PAT affiliate. So those programs may be public schools. They may be a family resource center or community action program. They may be a health district or federally qualified health center, hospitals, other nonprofits, or faith-based organizations. So the landscape of partners that deliver the Parents as Teachers model, we have 1,036 partnering organizations across the country and around the globe in 6 other countries that serve families in the Parents as Teachers model.
How do the parents and the families connect with Parents as Teachers?
Well, oftentimes locally, a local school district may refer a parent to the PAT program. Sometimes they get telephone calls. A lot of the hospitals we partner with, hospitals that deliver babies, and they may provide information to parents. For other prenatal OBGYNs may also refer pregnant moms. Some of our strong partners like Home State Health often refer teen parents to parents as teachers if they're in a location where we can serve them through our direct services or Show Me Strong Families affiliate. We will serve them or we will refer them to the local school district where they reside.
And sometimes this process gets started, as I understand it, before the baby is even born.
Absolutely. Our initial pilot was of 60 moms, all of whom were pregnant in 4 area school districts. So we began serving families prenatally, but we can enroll children and families anywhere on the continuum from prenatal through kindergarten.
And what would the prenatal process be like?
What would the prenatal process be like? Some of the work that we do from a prenatal perspective are sharing with parents to make sure that they keep up with their prenatal health and their wellness visits, making sure that they are exercising wellness, personal wellness techniques of relaxation, that they are informed on what to expect, help them through the birthing process with engaging and advocating with their physicians, understanding how to plan and prepare their home for their soon coming residence. So we have a 2,500-page curriculum that has a specific pathway to serve and support prenatal moms.
2,500 pages.
Yes. Well, not 2,500 pages of prenatal content, but within that curriculum, there are components that are focused on supporting moms through pregnancy.
Should we assume that the families that you work with primarily are lower income families?
Well, the Parents as Teachers model itself was developed as a universal model to serve all families, but because of limited resources, most funding is targeted to families that could benefit most, or the most vulnerable families like teen parents, single moms, parents that are experiencing poverty and housing insecurity and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you deal with an awful lot of people, and early childhood development, as you indicated when we started this conversation, is extremely important. How important is it? I know the brain is developing, as you indicated. Most of it is developing during this time. What else is important during this period?
Well, it's extremely important because, for me personally, I was a PAT parent. My son is 24 years old, but when he was born, I was going through preterm labor. I was hospitalized for 3 days, on bed rest for 30 days, and I delivered him 2.5 weeks early. So I was afraid. Every parent wants what's best for their child, and regardless of their economic or educational status, every parent can be a great parent, but we don't always have the confidence to know that. Mm-hmm. And parents as teachers, it's great to provide parents with the affirmation to just let them know you can take these particular steps to help add value to your child's development, and mm-hmm. let parents know that they play a role. It's very important. One of the analogies that Kit Bond shares often is we buy a car, and you get, an owner's manual. It tells you when to get it serviced. When we have a baby, we don't get any instructions. And I think that is what organizations like Parents as Teachers and our fellow organizations on the early home visiting front bring to families mm-hmm. and children.
You know, it really is true that there are books out there, of course, for on parenting, but most of us, it's kind of like on-the-job training, isn't mm-hmm. it? You just do what you think you have to do and kind of wing it.
Well, we do, but it's nice to have a resource like Parents as Teachers. And an interesting story is, we have the privilege of having many parents or former PAT parents on our staff and even some of our board members. But one interesting story is we have a person that's been in the organization for more than 20 years, but her youngest son had a gross motor delay that she, even as a parent educator, did not identify mm-hmm. herself. But through the screenings and engaging with her parent educator, delay was identified through the services she herself received from Parents as Teachers.
Boy, how important was that?
Absolutely.
We have to take a break. We'll do that and come back and continue the conversation with Constance Scully, President and CEO of Parents as Teachers. And we'd like to get your input as well. We'll see, we have one call already, and we'll bring that caller in after we come back from this break. 382-8255 is our number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd prefer to send a tweet, we'll take one at STL On Air. This is St. Louis On the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
We hope you enjoy listening to this podcast of St. Louis On the Air, brought to you by Lindenwood University's Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise, examining market approaches to help solve economic and social issues. Hammond.institute.
And welcome back to our conversation with Constance Scully, who is the president and CEO of Parents as Teachers. I think that is such a key point, Constance, that you mentioned in detecting developmental disabilities early on, because so few parents really, really know what to look for. And it can be very subtle. Some of these issues can be subtle, can't
yes.
they? Yeah. Well, we have a caller here that I'd like to bring in. Let's go with Jerry in O'Fallon, who has been waiting. Jerry, thanks for being patient.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to mention my oldest daughter was born in 1986, and I don't know if it was one of the pilot programs, but I believe it was one of the first, as a parent says, first teachers, as it was called, through the Ferguson-Florissant School District. And I think it was extremely valuable, not only the skills that you're teaching your child, but I think more valuable for the parent to realize that, education isn't something you send your kids off to do every day. It's something that you as a parent have the responsibility and the ability to do if you haven't thought of it that way, and that you can always use things as a teaching moment, and also that I think it also ingrains in you that your children are always going to follow your example, good or bad. So I think it's just a very simple but very effective way to make people aware of not only the responsibilities but also the joys and the ways that it it can make you a better person in teaching your children. It's a great program.
Jerry, thank you for the call. Well, those are words that I'm sure you appreciate hearing.
I do. Thank you for sharing that, Jerry. And I agree. And even though the work happens so early, preparing a parent to advocate for their child in the education system and in the health system, that parental engagement continues throughout it lasts throughout the continuum.
I'm sure that over a period of time, you see as much improvement in the parents as you do in the children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the major outcomes of the work with parents as teachers is improving parental skills.
I have in my notes here also a notation that detecting abuse and mistreatment of children is also something that you come across from time to time and have to deal with.
Yes. There's a recent study, a Yale study out of Connecticut, a statewide evaluation that was just released in the spring of last year, that indicated a 22% reduction of substantiated cases of child abuse and neglect in a sample size of almost 8,000 families, 36% of whom received the Parents as Teachers services. So in that 36% of families, their indications of substantiated child abuse and neglect was 22% lower of the sample.
What do you do? What do the visitors do if they detect that there is a problem of this sort?
Well, parent educators are typically mandated reporters. But what I think is happening is when they're engaging with a parent, they're explaining to them and helping them to understand better what to expect from a child. So sometimes what people often refer to as the terrible twos are normal behaviors for a two-year-old. So when a parent understands, well, this is the oral stage and this is how you can support that, as opposed to yelling at a child because they think that they're doing something that they're not supposed to, really helping a parent support their child's development as opposed to having adult expectations from a toddler.
How long do the home visits continue? I don't mean the duration when they're there, but a period of years, months, how long?
The goal is to serve families for, on average, at least 2 years. An individual visit lasts about an hour and a half to get through all components of the visit itself. The earlier, the better, but a parent or a family, depending upon their own situation, and also the funder. Some funders support programs that are on a different continuum. So another home visiting program may be serving children up to the age 2 or pick up at age 3. Parents as Teachers may be serving from prenatal to 3. So the oftentimes the enrollment period is dependent upon the resources provided by a funder and the structure in any given community.
Is there any kind of follow-up once the home visiting time is over?
Oftentimes when programs have an evaluation component connected, there may be a longitudinal study that looks at children and connects to families over the years. So, for instance, a recent evaluation in Arizona of the Sunnyside Unified School District, those families were served in that district from prenatal to 5, but they're looking at data up through high school, so they're already seeing third grade reading levels and math and literacy scores. So oftentimes, depending on the data infrastructure in a given program or community, they can track the status of those families and continue to connect with those families to determine their success.
We have an email here from listener Cameron, who writes, "My daughter was born a month early and is now 8 months old. I've signed up for Parents as Teachers but have been waiting for 6 months. I absolutely agree resources should be dedicated to those most in need, but is there somewhere else we can get help for families not in need to get help while Parents as Teachers resources are stretched thin?"
Well, there are occasions where it depends on the resources available in any particular community, but oftentimes some school districts and other programs do open up their group connections to the broader community, as well as they may have mass screening opportunities. Contacting the local departments of health, there may be other home visiting programs that a family can access. But because the footprint is so large in Missouri, reaching out to your local school district and saying, I need some help, I encourage you to do that. And we, from the National Center, support helping the school districts deepen their approach and try to expand the number of families that they can serve, any way that we can help them to do that.
Let's take another call. Rachel in St. Louis wants to get into this discussion, so let's bring her in. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hi. Yes, I was actually a part of the PAT program in, I think it was from 91 to 92. I lived in a very rural area in southeast Missouri, so there weren't a lot of early education opportunities, but it was incredibly beneficial for me. I was able to kind of get on the docket to enroll early in kindergarten. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to because our classroom sizes were way too big in the rural area. But because of that, it kind of gave me a leg up and made me realize the importance of my own education. And after that, I was enrolled in a lot of gifted and talented programs from second grade on to high school. And it definitely helped me so much just kind of realize what my own talents were for learning, and really gave me that thirst for knowledge. And I really looked forward to every single visit, those home visits that I would get from my parent teacher.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you for saying that, Rachel. And when we consider the communities and the families that we serve across the country, more than half of the communities that have Parents as Teachers programs are actually in rural communities. But what's amazing is that we serve families in rural, frontier, urban, and we even serve families in 115 tribal communities across the country. Our partnership with the Bureau of Indian Education has been around for 28 years. The challenge overall is that when you look at early home visiting for parents as teachers and evidence-based models, across a multitude of lists, we're only reaching about 300,000 families in total in the U.S. And when you consider needs like even single moms, teen parents, poverty, homelessness, substance abuse, families with just two indicators, at least two high opportunity indicators, that the need is about 6 million families that could benefit most from early home visiting. So this is a wonderful opportunity to just share that, one, the resources exist, and two, there's a need to fund more. A large part of the work that we do from the National Center is partnering in the states, including Missouri, on coalitions to encourage funding, additional funding for resources like home visiting, because once again, every parent wants what's best for their child, and every parent can be a great parent. We need help.
How does it work overseas?
Yeah. Well, the only thing that's significantly different overseas is in Europe, for say our programs in the UK, the screening component is a part of their health system. So the other components of the model, the group connections, the personal visits, and the resource referrals are what they focus on in Europe. But we have model affiliates that are providing their own implementation support as guided from the National Center to support their program. So in the UK, Canada, and Germany. Germany, it's a different language, so they manage the platform that delivers the curriculum from Germany, but they have translated our curriculum and our parent-facing tools.
Let's take another call. Marianne will be with us. Marianne, thanks for waiting. You're on the air with Constance Scully.
Hi, Constance. Hello, Don.
Hi.
I was calling in reference to the lady that has been waiting months for service and help. There is an organization here in St. Louis, Nurses for Newborns, and they help immensely with food, diapers, medical care for the child. And you just need to call them and supply an application, and they are extremely helpful. I volunteered there, so I just want maybe the lady that called in could learn about this service.
Yes, Nurses for Newborns is a great organization, and Melinda Ohlmeyer is one of our fellow leaders in the home visiting front. So they do great work, and similar to Nurses for Newborns, parents as teachers, partners with resource providers like the St. Louis Diaper Bank and others to provide resources to the families that we serve.
We're going to have to wrap this up, but I want to end with a tweet from Emily, who writes, "Thank God for my parent educator. She told me, 'You are a great mom.' Nobody ever said that to me. What a great lift for a tired stay-at-home mom." So there you go.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Parents as Teachers this year is celebrating our 35th anniversary right here in St. Louis. We're bringing our international conference back here in October, and we'll have a series of events like Rolling Reads and Block Fest for families to engage and support. So check out parentsasteachers.org to find out all of that information and also seek additional resources beyond your local school district to support families that are on a waiting list.
We will put a link to your organization on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Thank you.
Thank you, Constance Scully, so much for being with us. Constance is the president and CEO of Parents as Teachers. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.